Men, we call our home our castle. That would make the present-day world our acknowledged kingdom. But there's going to be an end to all this. Are we living our lives for the kingdom to come? Our decision has eternal consequences. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues men may think about but seldom talk about. As we continue to study the Our Father, our topic is Thy Kingdom Come, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're continuing to study the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, here on Crossing the Goal. Thy Kingdom Come is our topic today. Let's meet the Crossing the Goal team, the author of Living the Lord's Prayer, from Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, the founder and president of Focus, Curtis Martin, and our coach who played for the Saints in New Orleans and coached in the NFL, Danny Abramowitz, author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. Thy Kingdom Come. What kind of kingdom are we talking about, Curtis?
You know, Brian, it's a great question, and I think we have to recognize the deeply biblical roots of our Catholic faith and recognize that the New Testament is based upon and builds from the Old Testament. And we see this right in the very first verse of the very first chapter of the New Testament when Jesus is introduced as the Son of David. And any Jew would have understood that as a son of David, Jesus was a king, and not just any king, but a Davidic heir. Mm-hmm. And David had this amazing promise, this covenant that God had sworn to him, that an heir of his would arise who would be a king over all of the nations for all of time. So we're talking about a universal, everlasting kingdom, and Jesus is that king.
Colossians chapter 1, says verse 13, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. This is the proclamation of the Christian community. By the act of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a fallen race of people have been transferred from a kingdom, a rule, a dominion, into a kingdom of light, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.
There really are two types of people.
Yeah.
Those who live in the kingdom of light and those in the darkness.
Right.
Well, I don't know if people really understand that though now. I think what they do is they're living in this kingdom. This is the only king. They were about the time, this present time.
Yeah.
And they lived their life like, these are the goals I'm attaining. What I do on this earth. Once this ends, it's over. That's pretty sad if you just think about that. And you don't have the eternal perspective in here,
right.
The understanding of the other, as you said, there's two kingdoms, but we're living as though there's one kingdom.
And in a very simple way, the kingdom is the king. The kingdom is the king.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ is the king. He represents the kingdom and the rule. And everything he is, everything he said, everything he did, is a communication to us of what the kingdom of God is really like.
No, there are jets that fly the President of the United States around. And when he comes on board, not before, but when he comes on board, they are then Air Force One.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the kingdom. Wherever Jesus is, there is the kingdom. So if we are living the life of Christ, wherever we go, we extend that kingdom. Then His kingdom comes as we take Him to the world.
And you know, we talked about it in earlier shows that there's a battle out here. There's a battle between kingdoms.
Right.
We have to understand that.
Right. Kingdoms
in Ephesians
conflict, right?
6:12, it tells us our battle is not against this current human forces, but powers and principalities bigger than us.
And whose side do we want to be on?
That's what's happening. We get, you know, there's nothing wrong. We want to get out here and say, if you're living this world or you're trying to get ahead, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I see the problem, we're not even thinking about the other kingdom. God's part is not in the equation.
But isn't the kingdom already here?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here and now?
It's here and now, but it's going to be fulfilled and perfected in heaven. In fact, the church says we exist, the kingdom is perfected in heaven right now with the angels and saints. We are a church militant, a kingdom at war here on earth, and there's also a portion of that kingdom that is suffering through purification and purgatory. It's our job right now to live that militant kingdom and extend in hostile territory the kingdom of Christ against the kingdom of darkness.
Living in the already, the not yet of the kingdom.
Yep. And how do we do that? We need a game plan, gentlemen. I'll bet you, Curtis, and Peter have one for us. Our game plan is next here on Crossing the Goal.
Peter, we're talking about the coming of God's kingdom. And there's a powerful image in the church's official retreat, the Ignatian Exercises, in which we're asked to place ourselves kind of in a scene in which we imagine two standards or flags. Mm-hmm. And one of those flags is the flag of the world, and it stands for all of the things of this world. And the other one is the flag of Jesus Christ. And Ignatius asks us prayerfully to decide, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to pick? And as Danny hinted at, we can have the things of this world if we're serving the Lord, but we have to place the Lord at the center and at the height of our life. Otherwise, these things become an entanglement to us. So how do we bring about the coming of God's kingdom?
I think part of what's most helpful is to get clear on what it means that Jesus is a king. Jesus literally is the ruler of a kingdom. And he's a warrior. The Lord is a warrior, Scripture reveals to us. And because the Lord fought battles, and he continues to fight battles for us. It says in 1 John chapter 3 that the reason Jesus, the Son of Man, came into the world was to destroy the works of the devil. In Colossians, it says that on the cross, he disarmed the principalities and powers and rulers of this world who had dominion over the human race. Another kingdom, another power, another rule was dominating us, heart, mind, soul, and strength. We were under sin, Paul says, and the slavery to sin. Jesus came to break that hold on us so that we could be free. So Jesus literally, even today, what is Jesus doing today, Curtis, when you think about it? What's he doing right now?
He's interceding.
He's working to deliver. He's interceding for us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that God's plan is to bring all things. He sent the Son to deal with the rebellion that's on the earth and to bring everything under right order under God. And so now the church exists between the two comings of Jesus. He came the first time as a lamb in mercy for the mercy of the world to call back a fallen and rebellious world into the kingdom of the Father. But he's going to come again in glory to do what? To judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Jesus is at work right now, subduing all the enemies of God, including my heart, bringing my heart under the dominion of the Father so that I can live with him forever. But if I refuse, in the freedom he's given me, to come under that dominion, I'm going to end up in the fire of hell where all the enemies of God and the kingdom of God are going to go.
No, I think we look in our own history and say, imagine the founding fathers. They're standing with two kingdoms, the coming of the new United States and the old regime. And yeah. I got to imagine that the vision of this new great nation had to dominate their views. Right. And if we're sitting around and this battle for the kingdom is going on and we're saying it's not that big a deal, then we're really not patriots. We really have to recognize that Christ is calling for a radical loyalty to say, yeah. Look, there's a lot of work. And if you think this isn't a game, you're already on the wrong side. Everything's at stake here.
What's the famous battle scene where the Americans are lifting up the flag? Was it Iwo Jima?
Yep.
The flag they were planting the flag. Where's the kingdom? You kind of made a reference to it earlier. Where's the kingdom of God? Wherever you can plant the flag of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's honored and it's respected. Where the values of Jesus, the teaching of the kingdom, love for the Father, the Ten Commandments, wherever that is honored, you will find the kingdom of God. And where it's dishonored, you find what the Scripture calls the world. Not the flowers, your neighbors, the trees. The world in a biblical sense is that whole series of powers and, you know, ego and economic and political and volitional kind of will that's set against the kingdom of God.
Set against the kingdom of God. It's so important. Right. We've got to recognize. And there's an interesting and surprising twist here. We're going to find that at the heart of this battle, the battle's taking place in a very unusual way. As we've said in previous shows, we're not supposed to go out and kill for Christ.
Right.
We're supposed to live for him and when necessary, even die for him. But the battle takes place, according to the book of Revelation and other places, in the liturgy. Yeah. In the Mass. It is when God's angels and saints gather together in the Mass and we pray together to our Lord Jesus Christ that the kingdom comes, because wherever the king is, there's his kingdom. And then when it shows us that when the saints and the angels pray, the earth trembles. Why? Because these principalities of the world are being shattered. Right. And so at the end of Mass, we take that grace back out into the world and extend his kingdom through the acts of mercy and charity that we've been called to do, transforming the culture, which is so necessary, particularly in men in our culture today.
No question about it. And the Eucharist, what do? When we say amen? We bend our knees, we bow our heads, and together in communion, we acknowledge the reign of God. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah, we lived in a culture where Christianity was respected and honored. It was practiced. Yeah. And then it was not practiced, but it was respected. And now it's disrespected. And guess what? It's actually becoming dishonored and the world's turning hostile to Jesus Christ and to his church. And we better man up now, because it's not going to get better unless men wake up and spiritually and begin to live as kingdom builders.
Right. And the prayer, "Thy kingdom come," is the prayer, first, plant your flag here. Plant your flag, Lord, in my heart. You know the condition of my heart, the rebellion, the fear, the anger, the resentment, the unforgiveness, all that's present in my heart. Plant your flag, transform me, and bring my heart, mind, and will under your rule, the rule of your kingdom.
And we're going to meet people that disagree with us, sure. But our battle isn't with them. As Danny right. said, our battle's actually not with flesh and blood, right. but with spiritual powers of evil. And so we have to recognize that we're not fighting with people, we're fighting for people, because people, souls, are the prize right. that's at stake here. And so we have to try to win every man, woman, and child into this kingdom.
And you know, Jesus shows us how we fight. He fought on the cross. That was the ultimate battlefield. That's what won the whole war. The whole battle for us is won right there on the cross, not by raising the sword against somebody, but laying down your life and love the way Jesus did.
Makes me want to extend the kingdom. Yeah. Brian?
All right, thanks a lot, Curtis and Peter. Coach, how about that? We now have a game plan to move onward into the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. But first, we got to go through the red zone.
Come on, let's go.
All right, we're in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
I got it that time.
We're in the red zone here on Crossing the Goal. We're studying the Lord's Prayer. We're at Thy Kingdom Come. And Peter, in today's world, Thy Kingdom Come seems a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I think part of it is we don't think of Jesus as a king, you know, and we definitely don't think of him as a warrior. And that's part of his nature. Literally, he was sent to make war on the devil, Scripture tells us. He does it in a unique way, but the images of Jesus that are out there is that he's kind of wimpy or passive or something like that, and not very manly. That's kind of the picture that's out there.
No, and I think it turns a lot of guys off to the practice of the faith, and we have to recognize that Jesus was tough. You could look at, in Scripture, one of his most challenging moments, the Garden of Gethsemane, we find in John chapter 18. And if you read that, you'll see Jesus sweating blood. I mean, he's beaten down by the weight of our sins. And 600 soldiers come to arrest him with weapons. They're strong. These guys are brutal. And they are eventually going to torture him. And they're there with all of their power. And they say, he asks, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus says, "I am he." And we're told in John's gospel that when Jesus said, "I am he knocked 600 armed soldiers to the ground.
Flat on their face.
This is a tough guy, even right. when he's burdened. And that's an image a lot of men don't see. This is a warrior God who was yeah. calling men to get off their easy chairs, yeah. put down the bag of potato chips, and get serious about building a kingdom.
Yeah, right.
Well, men, this idea of being wimpy like that, I can just relate it to my own personal life. Once I start walking in the kingdom, I start thinking, and praying, what more do you have for me, Lord? And I would pray, and Lord convicted me one night and says, "Danny, when are you really going to stand up for me? I mean, I stand up."
Yeah,
take a as stand. A man.
Yeah.
And I remember the passage, "For me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord."
Yeah.
I don't know.
It
exactly
has to start there.
Joshua. It had to be
in
there, Joshua, that's what it's going to be. And it's. And that's what happened. I stood up. I don't care what anyone else do. We're worried about, well, what are they going to say about me? Or what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, the one I got to worry about is the Lord.
Right.
You know, and what I do is my whole thing then changed. The idea of this is what we're going to do. I know, and my family, the kids, they balked at first, but yeah. then they saw the example, and then they yeah. followed.
No, Thomas More, great example. There's a lot of pressure for him to renounce the Catholic Church when King Henry VIII took over.
Right.
And one of his friends to him said, "Look, Thomas, for the sake of our friendship,
yeah, right.
would you join us?" And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question. For the sake of our friendship, will you join me in hell
right.
if I yeah. denounce my own conscience and reject Christ and the church he founded?" And of course not. And we've got to live like this. And every man has to be a king in his own home and say, "Folks, my beloved wife, children, we've got to live differently." And it's not easy, as you said. It used to be. It's not.
Yeah, it's changing. It's changing. You know, the saints kept that perspective. They understood that what was happening is they're cooperating with God's grace to establish the kingdom in here. It starts here and works its way out in my heart. And then he subdues it over time with his spirit and his power. We become a new person. We start to live for him. Now, the saints saw that. You know, what we're seeing today in the Western world is kind of mind-blowing. I mean, for a long time, it was convenient and it was good for business to be in the church. It was easy because the culture supported it. Everybody liked it. Everybody basically agreed on most everything. That's not happening
it's
now.
It's counterculture.
You saw it
now.
In what's happened in Europe where, you know, that was the seat of Catholicism for so long. The world got hostile to the church. And then people start looking around and saying, wait, guys start looking around and saying, wait a minute, this is starting to cost me. This is starting to cost me some, man. I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here. It's bad for business now. I'm gone. Makes me unpopular. I'm out of here.
Hey, wake up, guys, because I'm telling you, I work with college students, and university campuses are not frustrated or indifferent to Christianity. They are openly hostile. They're mocking students, embarrassing them.
Yeah.
There's a real suffering going on by young people who choose to stand up for Christ on the college campus. Those folks are going to graduate and go all over the culture. We got to wake up and realize now's the time.
And the Lord didn't say, he said triumph of the cross, not triumph of the pillow. It's going to be hard. You know, it's not going to be. It's going to be hard. Let me finish this. The idea of a guy told me in sharing this story with me in a small group, and it was so powerful. I've never forgotten it. He says, Danny, if we don't go step out and to our brothers and our families, starting with our family and others, he says, how would you like to be up there? Maybe you make it to heaven, but they give you an opportunity to look down, and you look down, and there's the Lord with you, and looking up at you is your brother or one of your family members and says, why didn't you tell me, Danny? Why didn't you let me know? Mm-hmm. That would be the worst feeling in the world.
There's another way in which that also, that same image, what about your grandchildren, great-grandchildren? I may never even meet my grandchildren, but have I left an imprint, a Christ-shaped imprint in my children's lives so they can raise my grandchildren? Because sooner or later, that legacy will either run out or it will run into eternity. Yeah. The impact we could have, that God would allow us to have, is absolutely spectacular. Yeah.
But Curtis, your example of the college campus, and Peter, you're talking about how Europe has gone so completely secular. We're losing the battle of the kingdom. Well, how do we win?
Yeah, we're losing, but by forfeit. We're just not showing up. In fact, Matthew 16 says, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Actually, that word prevail is a bad translation. It's actually, gates never prevail on anyone. They're a defensive mechanism.
Right.
The word is actually, they will not withstand you. The promise Christ gave is, if we were to go on the offensive, we will win. The powers of hell cannot withstand our efforts.
Because
we've got to get active.
I mean, the reality is the war has been won. The reason that is the case is because the war has been won. We just read the passage there, that Jesus Christ on the cross disarmed the principalities and powers. He disarmed them. Now, if we're going to be passive in the face of them, they'll come rushing in. But if we stand up in the authority that we have as sons and daughters of God in our life, how does he come rushing in for a lot of guys?
Right.
One of the ways the devil takes dominion over a lot of guys and usurps the place of the king, right now today, is in pornography. Guys, open up. How many millions and millions of guys are watching pornography at night on a, you know, or whatever? And what you do when you invite them in, you exercise your freedom and you say, I prefer this desire, and you let them in, and there's all kinds of junk that comes in with it.
Oh, yeah.
And the devil squats. He sits on that land in your heart and he wants to have rule in your life again.
You brought up a good point. What's John 16:33 say? I have overcome the world.
Right.
The war is over. Now we're going to have battles and stuff.
Right.
We're going to have all these temptations, skirmishes, and all these things. You brought up a good point. I'm seeing giving up.
Yeah.
Two things I'm seeing is give up, and I don't give a hoot.
Well, as a coach, when you're down in the fourth quarter by 21 points, you can't just win on defense. You got to score some points.
It's not over. See, that's what I'm saying. It's not over till the yogis say. It's not over till it's over.
But guys, this is the high adventure of the Christian life. This is why it ought to be exciting for men, is that we're in a battle. I think my own life, I told a story way back when. We had alcoholism in my family, my great grandfather, my grandfather, my uncle, and all this stuff. And it was coming to our generation. And by God's mercy, the Lord inspired us to say, there's a way out. There's freedom. And we said, you know what? Enough, enough, enough of this dominating us and everything that goes with it. We're going to turn to the Lord. He's got the power to get us out of this. And he did it.
Here's what gets me too. What's the matter, men? We're afraid of a challenge. Men need to have challenges in life. So it's tough right now. So what are we going to do? Back away? Where are our guts to stand up and say, I'm going to defend the Lord?
And listen to a lot of men, and they'll say, well, religion is kind of for women, and I find religion boring. It's because they're not living the type of religion you guys are talking about.
You're not in the game. You're not fighting.
This is an adventure.
Right.
The reason it's boring is because you're asleep. Get out of bed and come out and join the fight, because we need you. And if we were to get that word out, in fact, that's why we're here, is to try to get that word out exactly. that there's a goal that has to be crossed.
Yeah. And you hear this, you know, the church is, what's wrong with the church? Or this priest isn't doing this. Wait a minute, what are you doing? What are you standing up? Where are you? I go to church a lot of times and see the wife in there with two beautiful kids. Where's the dad at? Yeah. Was he watching ESPN or waiting for the NFL game? You don't have to show up until the fourth quarter. It ain't going to be determined.
I'm not going to be involved. The church is full of hypocrites. I mean, why should I do that? I mean, that kind of stuff is being thrown. I heard this morning a priest at church saying, a Zig Ziglar line or something like that, to say, hey, come on in. We got room for one more. Come on in. Inviting him into the church. You just say that we have. I mean, the church is not a museum of saints and statues. It's a hospital for sinners, people at war who are in love with Jesus Christ, and we're working with him to bring the whole world under the reign of God. That's what it means to be a Catholic.
Right. And that battle starts, right, as you said before, right here. Yeah. I am tempted to take the wrong side. There's a part of me that is at war with Christ. And now it can be subdued, in fact, has been subdued. But if I let it grow and don't actively suppress that, I mean, you think about the Old Testament temple. What do? They killed cattle, sheep, and goats. It was a symbol of something. What? Of our hearts. We've got these animal desires inside of us that every day need to be put to death and brought to the altar, said, Lord, I sacrifice this to you. I want to live for you, not to please my passions. And when we start to live that way, then we can extend a kingdom.
Thy kingdom come. The Lord taught us to pray that, along with the rest of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. We're going to give each of you guys a chance for the last word as we push into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Well, we've made it again into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. This time we're talking about Thy Kingdom Come, part of the Lord's Prayer. Time for the last word from our Crossing the Goal team, beginning with Peter Herbeck.
Thanks, Brian. Brothers, the King Jesus himself has won the war. The war's over. But there's battles and skirmishes that as we described down there. And I want you to know, no matter what struggle you're in now, what battle you're in right now, there's a power in you. If you've given your life to Christ, you've been baptized, there's a power in you that's greater than any power, any force that's coming against you. What the devil's trying to do is to get you not to believe that, but I want you to believe that the King himself, who won the victory, is alive in you, and he's calling you to submit your heart more deeply to him, because he's going to lead you to freedom.
Thank you, Peter. There's a challenge for us. A lot of you all have given your life to Christ. You believe in Jesus. And at the very end of his Sermon on the Mount, he says these words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Now we have to recognize, and I don't say this to scare you or to scare me, but to wake us up. We were made to be men of action. And Christ wants to come into your life and not just make you feel good about your faith, but to awaken a warrior. The kingdom needs warriors. And when we choose to accept that invitation, we're going to come alive in a whole new way. And not only that, the world is waiting, desperately longing for us to take that, because we're going to join in a battle, as Peter has said, that has already been won. Our King is victorious. The question is, whose side are we going to be on when it's all over?
And men, we take this thing about the kingdom come for granted, like it's some kind of a game or something, like the Super Bowl or something. Well, the Super Bowl, you have a winner and loser. The loser gets to come back for another chance next year. In the battle for the kingdom forever, there's only one way. You either go to heaven or you go to final damnation. It's your choice. Right now, you got to make the choice. Which one do you want?
Coach, a coach is kind of like a king, isn't it?
King, I think they are.
Here, king, here, king.
Yeah, king. Yeah. Like, here, boy, here, king.
Yeah.
Thanks, Coach Danny Abramowitz. Curtis, great tie. Curtis Martin and Peter Herbeck here on Crossing the Goal. Thank you for being with us. We are going to look at Thy Will Be Done next time on Crossing the Goal. Thy Will Be Done.
We could probably do two more.
Okay. I do like that.
No, just your back on the shot.
You're the best.